Good morning.
You know, as bring in the new year, the process of covering three different aspects of practice, and it's sort of like a review. So as we enter the new year, we're all reminded, including myself, of how do we create the quality for sitting together. And the first aspect of this was, the talk was creating the conditions for practice. And essentially that the first condition would be silence, that we create a place that is not only quiet, but also the silence of doing each activity. And in doing these kinds of things and following the routine of each activity, what we're doing as a Sangha is we're helping each other to practice, helping each other not to create distractions that take away from practice. And also, I think, at least my own personal perspective, is that we practice with an open heart so that the conditions here feel safe and we feel like we're supporting each other. Now, the second thing that we did, which was sort of fun, I went over all the different aspects, lighting incense, bowing, doing kin hin, how to enter the line, how not to enter the line, and etc. And it was revealing. You know, it was a good practice, I think, because it does bring everybody back together, doing things in unison and creating this climate for ourselves. But I realized in doing this, there were a number of things that I had forgotten the way they were supposed to work. So it was a good review for myself as well. So these are the first, excuse me, these are the first two of three aspects of reminding ourselves, how do we practice? What do we do in the Zendo? And what's the spirit of what we do and how we do it? I've also come up with a fourth. And that is to just go over the practice of Zazen, the different forms, the sitting positions, the spirit of it. So for better or worse, this is not going to be the last one. So I'm just going to say a few words today about ritual. Now, all the different rituals that we practice go back for centuries and centuries and generation after generation. People who practice meditation and then Zazen, you know, this began in the trail of this began in India. And I don't think it started to be called Zazen until it got into the occidental countries like China and over to Japan. So each ritual has, to a certain extent, expressed something about the culture that it was in. You know, a quick example, of course, was bowing. Came out of the Chinese culture, and then also it went to the Japanese culture in Vietnam and a variety of other countries in the East that were that eventually became home for Zen. Now, it's sort of interesting that as each one of these rituals enters a new culture, that new culture informs the way the ritual is practiced. For example, nobody would even have heard of the idea of a practice circle in ancient China or Japan. But when Zen came to the West, and in this country in particular, the practice of Zen Buddhism got intermixed with the psychotherapeutic rituals that existed in this culture. And one expression of that mixture would be a group circle in which people communicate in a circle, which is really a psychotherapeutic activity in the West, but it became adopted to Zen and it has sort of its own rules for how to practice. So Dogen, as we all know, spent thousands of words talking about the various rituals that are practiced in Zen. And he detailed these instructions so that everyone would practice Zen in the correct manner. And he also taught that one must not only be awakened in meditation, but in all activities. That he would say that Zazen, our sitting meditation, doesn't stay, as I've said many times, doesn't stay on the cushion. But that form of practice, that form of being awake, hopefully takes place in the rest of our life. So he taught that every action, no matter how mundane, is sacred and can lead to realization. For example, the classic koan of the monk sweeping the courtyard, and he sweeps a little bit harder and a stone goes across in front of him and it hits a bamboo shoot. And in that moment, that monk is awakened. But that was sort of why you would call it a mundane activity. But it's an everyday activity that he did to maintain the Zendo grounds. But even that simple activity can lead to awakening. So Dogen's teachings led to the creation of many rituals for all aspects of practice. So as we all know, you know, some of the daily rituals of Zen are the practice, of course, certainly Zazen, which is the foundation of everything else. So Zazen, chanting, bowing, kinhin, lighting incense, even the placement of our shoes outside are all rituals. And they all are an expression of paying attention. And they all, just by their virtual nature, support each of our practice. That's an interaction. So each single one of us, by how mindful we perform these rituals, is affecting everyone else. Now, there are also what are called grand. Now, this is language, grand rituals, but it doesn't make it any more important than the usual rituals that we perform on a daily basis. But what are called grand rituals are used in celebrations, such as Dharma transmission, priest ordination, lay ordination, Jukai, which is taking the precepts. And these kind of ceremonies are considered rites of passage and a form of empowerment. But they're just another expression of the idea of rituals. So there are several ways in which rituals function in our practice. And the first is, as I mentioned, rituals help us to see the sacred in the ordinary. The daily rituals such as chanting, bowing, lighting incense are deliberate, focused moments that symbolize the care with which we should approach all of life. So when we come into the Zendo and we bow to the person across from us and we turn around and we bow to our seat and we prepare our place for Zazen, that is a very sacred ritual and should be done with exquisite attention, because that creating that place is just as important as sitting on the cushion and breathing. The second is that this moment-by-moment attention to detail, as been said many times, supports our practice. It helps to create the climate of attention and stillness. If, you know, as we know, if one person bows one way, another person bows another, or one person holds their hands in gassho and another in shashu, creates sort of a chaos that exists and has a very subtle effect on the mind. So as I was saying, by ritualizing the way in which we do each thing, which helps us to pay attention, it helps us as a sangha to, we're all contributing to the stillness of our mind. Now, rituals also connect us to our lineage and to the history of our practice. Connects us to our past, and most of these forms and rituals have been passed down for centuries. So when we take up our cushion for our place for Zazen, this is a practice that's ancient, and it's been transmitted originally from India to China to Japan to the West and to many other places. But most of these rituals that we do have been done probably for thousands of years. And then the fifth aspect of this is that the ritual promote this framework within which we practice. And then the sixth aspect of this, I don't know, this strikes me, so I put it on the list, is that there's a sort of an elegance and a beauty to these rituals. Seeing two people bow to each other, it's just beautiful to see that ritual performed. To see somebody light the incense and hand it to someone else and hold the incense to the forehead and place it in the incense bowl. It's just beautiful to me and elegant as well. The sound of a bell or the bells that start a meditation period. It's exquisite. It's just incredibly beautiful. So I hope that these brief words helps you to have a feeling for the place of ritual in our practice. And the other thing, of course, which is probably obvious, but these are not three separate categories. They're where these different aspects are constantly interacting with each other in a very fluid flow. So it's another part of the beauty, this harmony of practice. And for me, as I've said many times before, I think one of the essential and most beautiful elements is the degree to which we can practice together with an open heart. There's a certain beauty of that too, that energy or that resonance that comes from being able to practice open-heartedly. So I thought I was going to say today, well, that's it. But we have one more to go. We're going to do Zazen next weekend. So thank you for listening.